Take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 1 and read the first 10 verses, and then find the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 23. The youthful choices of Moses. This summer, I am preaching regarding the life of Moses, the one drawn from the water. We've just finished our exposition of 2 Corinthians 1 through 7, last Sunday introducing the law and looking at the life of Moses, this great lawgiver. You know, when God has a plan, He always prepares a man. When He has something to do, He is fashioning, shaping. In every environment, in every circumstance, He is developing a man to carry out His plan. Moses was a general, a great leader of people, taking 2 million people out of Egypt to the promised land. Josephus says, the Bible does not tell us this, but Josephus, the great Jewish historian, says that while Moses was in the household of Pharaoh, the Ethiopians came against Egypt and sacked Egypt. And Pharaoh sent Moses with an army to deal with the Ethiopians, and he ran them back out of Memphis and out of Egypt back to Ethiopia, and there he brought back great treasure, says Josephus about the general Moses. He was a lawgiver. He gave us those 10 commandments. If you go to the Capitol, when the president stands in the well there to give the State of the Union, there are those great lawgivers all around the building, each one of them just giving that profile side. But at the back, there is one full face looking at the well, looking over the proceedings of America. It is the full face of Moses, the great lawgiver. America needs to remember that this morning, that God and His law is watching. Moses was a writer. He wrote those first 5 books of the Old Testament. Why, if he only wrote the first 2 chapters of Genesis, he'd be a genius. If he just wrote one verse, that's the most quoted verse around the world. You ask anybody, what's it say? In the beginning, God created. Coming from the heart and pen and inspiration of Moses. He was a great religious leader, giving the tabernacle of blueprint. To the people of God and leading them in that great sacrificial system and showing that way. Moses, God had a plan and He developed a man. I want us this morning to begin looking at the life of Moses. We're in Exodus chapter 2 and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now you know your Bible, if you've been reading it very much, that Pharaoh had said, you kill all of the baby boys. He told the midwives that. He said that you don't allow them to live. Abort the males. The midwives feared God more than they did Pharaoh and said, we won't do it. And Pharaoh asked them why and said, well, the Hebrew women are so strong that they give birth to the children before we can get there. And then he said, well, if you can't do that, then the edict from Pharaoh was you took every male child and you throw them in the Nile River, crocodile bait. Amram and his wife Jochebed already had a daughter, 13 years old, most believe, Miriam, a little 3 or 4, maybe 5-year-old boy by the name of Aaron. But during this edict of death came their third child. The Bible says in Exodus 2, verse 1, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when he saw that he was beautiful, or when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, and her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, again about the youthful choices of Moses. Hebrews 11, 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured," look at this line, "as seeing him who is unseen." Glory to God. What a man that he could see the one that was unseen. Something happened in the youthful life of Moses. He was given a great heritage with Amram and Jochebed, because his parents feared the King of Kings more than they feared the King of Egypt, according to Hebrews 11, 23. Oh, that God would give us a church full of mamas and daddies that would fear the King of Kings more than any king on this earth, and teach their children to bow at the feet of no king save Christ and Christ alone. Miriam and Aaron would later, and we'll see it in our series, they'll later give Moses fits. Siblings often do that. But they were very instrumental in the early days. There, Miriam watching from afar, and when Pharaoh's daughter came, I'll name her for you in just a few moments, when we see her coming and wading out and hearing the cry of the baby, and "Can I find you someone to care?" and goes to get the mother. My goodness, what a plan. Wouldn't ever mama want to be paid for raising her own child? Amen. And she paid wages, and then she brings that baby back. 1 year, two, three, we don't know. How old when he was weaned back to Pharaoh's daughter? I believe that there were times when Pharaoh's daughter brought him back out to visit with Jochebed. Why, I don't believe that any adoptive mother that had that lady do that for her would not remind that boy. Moses heard from his own mother those first 2-3 years, but I believe even after that, from periodic visits, that there would be an influence in his life. Moses grows up in the home of Pharaoh, and Hebrews helps us see that he made 4 critical choices that shaped his life forever. I want to name these 4 critical choices today. And if you are a high school student or middle school or a college-age student or a young adult, you need to focus on these. But I tell you, it's never too late to make these choices. But the earlier you make them, the more power of God will be in your life, and the longer reach that your life will have. Let's look at these 4 critical choices. Number 1 was the educational choice. We have to turn to Acts to Stephen's great sermon before he was stoned to death, and Stephen spoke of Moses, and in chapter 7 and verse 22, we find these words from the great sermon of Stephen. Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. When he went down to Egypt with his adoptive mother, we find that he was educated. Now, the Egyptians gave us a lot of great things. Mathematics and history and in the sciences. I'm telling you, Moses gleaned a great education. Every young person and every family has to make an educational choice about their children. There are at least four things about that education that you need to consider. First of all is the location of that education. Are you going to put that child in public school or in private school, or are you going to homeschool that child? Everyone has to make their choice about how they will locate their child for education. Once you graduate and get ready to go off to college, are you going to go to a Baptist school or a state school or a non-denominational school? Is it going to be Christian in its orientation or not? You have to pray through about the orientation. I went to public school all of my life. Now, public school is different than it is in this day and age. Public school, we read the Bible in public school when I was there as a kid of a boy. But when I went off to college, I went 2 years to the junior college in my town. And that junior college was rank liberal. I was a biology minor, getting ready to go be a preacher because I was going to leave that state institution and then go to a Baptist school. It was uncanny how I found more people in the science department at the state junior college that believed Genesis chapter 1 and 2 than I found at the Baptist school studying the Bible. Just because you go to a school with a Christian heritage doesn't mean you won't find rank liberals there too. And I found them. And they stood and said, you know, some people preach that if you don't know Christ, you'll go to hell if there is a hell. That was the word they gave me. That was a Baptist school. That school's changed now, thank God. A lot of things have changed in Baptist life since some people stood up and said that's not the way we're going anymore. But I want you to understand, you've got to choose, and you need to choose wisely about the location of where you're going to be. Now, sometimes God will lead you to a very ungodly environment for education. Yes, he will. While Moses is raised in Egypt, I want you to understand that 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't matter which school you're in, okay? If it's an atheist or a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal teaching you, 2 + 2 = 4. You get your basic core curriculum. A noun is a noun, a gerund is a gerund, a participle is a participle. But when you begin to get to the sciences and you get to the arts, now you move into, well, did God start it or did man start it? Moses, I believe, was influenced so much by Amram and Jochebed as a young boy. He heard the name Jehovah. And when he would walk in as a little boy to worship in Egypt, let me tell you what they worshiped in Egypt. There were three main characters in the temple in Egypt. They worshiped a sacred cow, a crocodile, and you know they were godless because they worshiped a cat. A cat, a C-A-T cat. I did this morning what I do every Sunday morning. I went out and had my quiet time. I come in, get my small breakfast, and I go out on our back porch, and I sit there, and my wife's cat did what it does every Sunday morning. It scratched at the back door. I let it in, and she goes and hops up, and she sits there, never looking at me. And I'm watching that cat this morning while I'm eating. And I'm thinking, I see why they did that. She's a big cat. And she looks almost majestic. Just looking around over the property she owns. You'd walk into Egypt, and they'd have that cat. There, a statue, that cat, and that crocodile, and of a sacred cow. That's what they worshipped in Egypt. They were godless people. And yet Moses knew that was not God. There was the name Jehovah. Where did he learn that? Jochebed whispered in his ear when he was a little boy, and little boys believe their mamas, and when they go out, they may act godless. And I'm telling you, if Jesus saves them and God changes them, the Bible promises they're coming home before they die. And if they don't come home, they may very well never have known the living Christ. And there are those that will go out and God will kill them. In order to save their soul, he'll kill the body. Mama, whisper in the ear. This week's vacation Bible school, my little girl taught vacation Bible school, but my little granddaughter had vacation Bible school at our house. Rachel come by and dropped Catherine off, and Liz and Catherine had Bible school 3 hours every morning. They'd sing the songs of Bible school. They'd draw and they'd talk and sing about sweet Jesus. I'm telling you, my granddaughter at 1 and a half will never forget the impressions. She can't remember. I'm just telling you, the impression begins there. And as you continue to do that, some old godless professor somewhere will say to her one of these days, you know, God really didn't. And she's going to say, well, my grandmother said. Hey, Jochebed, Amram, don't ever stop educating your own children. It is not the job of the state. It's your job to educate your kids. You be influential, and God will lead you in different ways. There's location. Then every child has to decide their vocation. Their vocation. Well, which way are they going to go in education? What's going to be your major? What's going to be your minor? I buried yesterday and had the funeral for Miss Irma Dyster, 94 years of age. And in her own testimony that she wrote out, she spoke of the day when she went off to New Orleans to the old Baptist Bible Institute for 1.5 years. And then she understood that it was not the will of God. She was not called there. She was single. And she went off to nursing school. She had to stumble through and find and discern the mind of God. Every young person has to do that. What is your vocation? What is your major? Where are you going? What are you going to do with your life? There's a location. Then you've got to choose a vocation. Then you've got to have a foundation. And that foundation is on the bedrock of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jochebed would be whispering Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah in the ear of young Moses. And then lastly, in your education, there has to be a motivation, a motivation. Are you getting that education for money and fame, or are you going to do it for God's glory and His service? Most everybody I know that goes to school, they start out saying, how can I serve mankind? But if you're not careful, that thing twists and turns to say, fame and fortune rather than service and glory. Moses made a choice in education and said he would follow after eternal truths. Number two, not only did he make an educational choice, he made a directional choice. Notice it right here in Hebrews. Keep your Bible open, Hebrews 11, and we're going to look at this for a few moments today. And that is his directional choice. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, now we don't know how old that was, maybe he's 18, 16, 20, he's a young man, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of a season. Again, Josephus, the great Jewish historian, gives us the name of Pharaoh's daughter, Thermutis, Thermutis. Thermutis was the person that Josephus said was the daughter of Pharaoh. And in his history, he says, Pharaoh only had one child, and it was a girl, and it was Thermutis. If that is true, then Moses would have been the grandson by adoption to the Pharaoh. And when Thermutis passed off the scene, or even before, because of the male passing, he would have been the Pharaoh. Can you imagine being the grandson of the Pharaoh? My Lord, what kind of chariot would you ride in? You'd have had a Chevrolet Corvette with two Mustangs pulling it when you went through the town of Memphis. You'd have had everything you ever needed. Riches, gold, clothes. But Moses made a directional choice. He said no to the crown that would have been his and to all of Egypt, and he said yes to the people of God. by faith, rather than being called the son of Thermutus. He chose ill treatment with God's people rather than the passing pleasures of sin. Do you know that everything this world can offer you is a passing pleasure? It is. The Bible says there's a broad road and there's a narrow road. You got to pick your direction. You going to go on the broad road of fame and fortune? Or are you going to choose the narrow road that leads to the glory of God? Everybody chooses, and every young person chooses. Sports is an area where fame and fortune gets in us. Eric Liddell, if you remember him from the great movie The Chariots of Fire in the 1924 Olympics, Eric said, as a Presbyterian boy, he said, "I will not run on Sunday," and his race came up to be run on Sunday in the 24 Olympics, and he said, "No, I will not run," and he lost the race, of course, because he did not enter. But the next day, being a Monday, he was allowed to run the 400 meters, and he won the gold in the 400 meters. And some people would say, "Well, that's the blessing of God for being obedient." Well, hello, you got to hear the rest of the story. He left there and went to China. He went as a missionary to China. You don't hear the rest of the story because he was finally put in a debtor's prison. He taught the gospel. He was a gospel preacher and a missionary and a teller and a lover of kids and a doer of good. In 5 days before liberation came in the 40s, he died. Sometimes the gospel will cost you death. And Eric Liddell's cellmate said these were his last words he ever spoke. "It is complete surrender." When asked Eric Liddell about his life and what he said, "My life, it is complete surrender." Have you made that directional choice? Is it complete surrender? Dear friend, if you are not in line for the narrow way of complete surrender, then the pleasures of sin will gobble you up, eat you, and cost you your legacy of the glory of God. One day when you're dead and gone, people are going to say it was all about you or it was complete surrender. Sports just caused that to fade away. I read the story this week of a young man by the name of Richard, and he said he was playing high school football, and he was hurt, and the team got behind in a big game, and said the fans began to shout, "Put Richard in, put Richard in, put Richard in." The coach finally said, "Can you play?" And he hobbled in, went in. He said he threw the winning pass that won the game. He said, "Man, I was a big man on campus." He said, 25 years went by and I went back for homecoming. Said the game was being played. And he said, "Nobody said put Richard in. Nobody knew my name." He says, "As a matter of fact, the game got kind of tight and I stood up to yell and some young man in the back said, 'Hey, old man, sit down. I can't see.'" He said, "In just 25 years, I'd gone from glory to nothing." That's what sports will do for you. It's what athletic competition. They'll remember you as the man of the hour in this generation, and they'll look at you in the next generation and say, "Who's that old man? All bent over." But let me tell you, when it's complete surrender, there's an angel keeping a book. He's going to balance the scales, and one day he's going to mete out rewards for those that have been faithful. You've got to make a directional choice. Some of you need to get out of your seat today and walk right down here and make a directional choice and say, "I'm a Christian, but I now choose the narrow road to live for Christ." He made an educational choice. He made a directional choice. Thirdly, he made a lordship choice. Notice it in verse number 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Let me tell you, if you've ever seen King Tut, you ever seen the deal with King Tut? They bring it around, you walk in, it's gold, 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 gold. Not enough to pave 1 meter in heaven. But man, it's the riches of Egypt. And here, he made a lordship choice. He chose the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt. Why? For he was looking for the reward. It's Christ above all. He was looking for the reward. He was looking for the Messiah. Just a few years ago, right here in our church, we had a young man, he's a high school senior, he's one of our leaders in our youth group. He's now out running a business. He and his dear wife married and doing a great job living for Christ. I will never forget talking with that young man. If I called his name, many of you in here would know him, know his family. And he came and he said, "You know, Pastor, I'm on this team and this team playing two sports over here at the high school where I go." But he said, "In order to follow after what I believe Christ wants me to do, I'm going to say no to athletics as a senior boy." Whew. I said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Man, you know, you can accomplish things as a leader." He said, I know, Pastor, and many people do that, and that's right for some. But he said, "Just not for me. I just don't believe that's where I ought to be." He turned it in. Lived for Christ on his campus. And I'm telling you, God's rewarded him 1,000 times over. I just want to speak a word to all of you raising up kids and taking them off the ball 9 months out of the year. I want you to be very careful. I'm not telling you don't go and play in this league or that league, but I am telling you, weigh the choices. Weigh the choices about the lordship issue. And if they're in this soccer league in the summer, in this baseball league, in this volleyball league, and that football deal, and they're never here on Sunday, and it's 8, 9, 10 months of the year, and you're gone and gone, and you say, "Well, maybe they might go pro." Let me tell you, maybe they get a scholarship. The money you're paying to be in those leagues, you can pay half their college tuition. I'm not being horsey with you. I'm just telling you, at least look at the other side. Weigh the issue. And above all, don't let the kids lead the way. You lead your family and tell them what you're going to do, because He is Lord and you follow Him, and you don't follow the kids follow you. Let a man be the head of his home and lead in wisdom where that child needs to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He chose Christ, the reproach of Christ, rather than the great riches of Egypt. He made an educational choice, made a directional choice, made a lordship choice. Some people in this room need to make a lordship choice today. Number four, he made a faith choice. I want you to look in verse 27. Glory to God. By faith, he left Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, for he endured. You know the story of Moses. He went out there and he saw two Egyptians fighting, and he killed one of them, buried him in the sand. I tell you, Moses is not a perfect man. And then he finds these Hebrews, finally he comes out and he said, "Well, you're going to kill us like you killed..." Uh-oh. Moses left. We're going to see where he went. But I don't think this text speaks of his first leaving. I believe here he made a faith choice that is really later. I believe this is when he went with the people of God and God told him to leave and carry the people with him. And they made a faith choice. Why? Because he did not fear the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me right now. Every young person that makes this choice, you're going to be better off. And if their mom and daddy will ever get it, make it easier for kids to get it. If we ever become people of real faith and quit living by sight and living by faith, I'm telling you, God's going to do a supernatural thing among us. But as long as we're just saying, "Well, you know, it seems to me that this is wise because you make more money, or this is wise because you'll have more, you'll have a bigger house, you get the American dream." Let me tell you, friend, the American dream is not the gospel. I said the American dream is not the gospel. A house and two cars and a little more, it may be the American dream, but I'm telling you, the American dream is not the gospel. The gospel is this: take up your cross, come and follow me. That's the gospel. Jesus said, "Come and follow me." Sometimes you get a great big house and a bunch of cars and land, and sometimes God uses you there. But sometimes God calls you to go to the ends of the earth. Sometimes He takes you downtown Pensacola to walk among the down and out. Sometimes He puts you... Some people hadn't understood what Robert Gillen did. How do you leave here with a good salary and go for a lot less money and start with people, homeless people in Orlando? I can only tell you, Robert says, that's the call of God. I can't get away from it, Pastor. It's something that I can't see. But let me tell you, when you see the one that nobody else can see, you're walking by faith. And that's what God commands us to do, is walk by faith. Moses made a faith choice. And every teenage boy and girl, every college student, somewhere along the line, if they're going to follow Christ, they'll have to make a faith choice. A faith choice. I made a faith choice when I was 18. I knew the call of God to preach was just strong and on me, and I just didn't want to tell my mom and daddy. But see, I'm an only child, and dad had that business, and he's going to give it to me. And man, it's going to be good. All you had to do is work 6 days a week from 6 in the morning till 8 at night. That's all you had to do. You had to hire a butcher, a bunch of kids to carry groceries out. I said, I just don't think I can do that. So I remember the day I said, you're going to have to do something else. And I remember Dad asked me, what are we going to do with this store? I said, I don't know. That's yours. It's not mine. I said, if you give it to me, I'm going to sell it today after you give it to me. I said, because I can't look after it because God's called me to go elsewhere. He understood that. He supported me all these years. He still owns that building. We're still trying to sell it. And he still rents it. And every time it comes up for renewal, he'll come by. He said, well, sign this. I'm on their corporation. He said, sign this. He said, you know, next time it comes up, I'll be dead and you'll have to deal with it. It just goes on and on and on and on, you know. He'll be like 110 and it just goes on and on. But I had to make a faith choice. Because I can remember my mother saying to me, you know, preachers don't make much. And let me just confess to you, you are so gracious to our staff team here. And little did I ever think that God would bless. But when I was pastoring New Lebanon Baptist Church at Rural Route 2, Odenville, Alabama, I kept hearing my mother's words echo in my heart. Preachers don't make much. I said, she got that right. Amen. God has a way, and He meets every need that you ever have. It's a faith choice. And you step out when you can't see. Can't see. It's just, yes, there's nothing there but God. He calls us by faith. You don't know if it's death or life. Sometimes it's death. I have a little book, and I want to read this to you this morning. Emmy Dodd is a longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church of Shreveport, Louisiana. He started the cooperative program in Southern Baptist Convention in 1925. He was also the man that started the pastor's conference, Southern Baptist Convention. Old Baptist been dead and gone to heaven a long time. And in this little book about his life, he writes these words, and I thought they were so appropriate for this message and for this day. And here's what Dr. Dodd said. When a person wishes to transfer his citizenship from another country to the United States of America, there are two things necessary for him to do it. He must first renounce all allegiance to the old country, and then accept the Constitution, the flag, and the laws of this country in which he seeks citizenship. So number one, he renounces all allegiance to the old, and he accepts the Constitution, the flag, and the laws of America to be a citizen. He goes on to say, it is the same in the matter of religious experience and spiritual life. In the Bible, this is called repentance and faith. In Mark 1:15, it is recorded that Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance means the renunciation of the old country, and believing means acceptance of the new country. With American citizenship, you renounce the old, you come to the new. When you come to Christ, you renounce even the American dream, and you come to the new. What is the new? It is the cross. It is Christ. It is the Word of God. It is faith. Moses made some great choices as a young man, and they started with him and took him all the way to Mount Nebo. The last sermon I'll preach will be his death. Lessons from Mount Pisgah at Nebo. That'll be the last in this series. But what got him from the Nile to Nebo were those early choices that he made in his life about his education, about his direction, about who was Lord. and about how he's going to walk by faith, hearing and seeing that no one else could see or hear. Can you imagine the day he went up on the mountain and said, I got to go meet God? People looked at him like he had three heads, I guarantee you. But he heard and knew of a voice from elsewhere, and he walked by faith. Some of you that are in this room today, you need to make some important choices. Directional, lordship, salvific, coming unto Christ who came to the world for you. I'm not promising you're going to get rich. Matter of fact, you may die. You may go to China like Liddell and lose everything you've got. I don't know. The gospel doesn't promise you that. The gospel bids you come and die, and he will take care of you. We've got this in our mind that if you get right with God and live for him, God's just going to give you the American dream. And let me tell you, friend, that's blasphemy. You go study the 12 apostles. What happened to all of them? Crucified upside down, their head cut off? Banished? We'd have said, well, they're failures, not successes. Oh, but you got to go to the other side and get the final report. That's how you get your name in that book that says, by faith, by faith, by faith. Have you made those choices? If you've not, I invite you today to step out and come unto the Christ. Father, have your way in this invitation time. Lord, for those that need to renounce the old and come to the new, draw them. For those, Father, that need to come be a part of the church, draw them. For those that need to come and take their stand for Christ, draw them. Lord, have your way in my heart and in every heart and life in this room. Now, if you would just raise your head, look right here. John's going to begin to sing in a moment. In that balcony, it's going to take you a moment to rise and come, but you need to come today. You're going to need to get up and come down this stairwell. Come. From that back row, it'll take you just a second. Just rise and come. You say, Pastor, I'm scared. I wouldn't know what to say. You come. We'll help you. You're not going to make a speech or tell anybody anything. You come. Making that youthful choice. You say, I'm an old man. That's a good time to make youthful choices. Saying, I want to go God's way, God's direction. He is Lord in my life. Let's stand. All over this room, we're standing. John's starting to sing. You're helping him. God's calling. You come. You come. You come this day.